Hello, and welcome to Interracial Marriage with Christina Adams. I'm your host and relationship coach. Today, we're talking about Chinese and Jamaican customs and how black males and white female unions are viewed by some. Out of many, one people, Jamaican's rich Chinese heritage was written in 2017. Wrote how in the mid-19th century, during a time when laborers were required for the building of railroads from Panama City to Colón, and during California's gold rush, when yellow fever broke out in 1854 in Panama, Chinese workers demanded to leave the country and were sent to Jamaica. This is when Jamaican and Chinese culture began to become more porous to one another. Today, we talk to Colin Thompson about his personal experience of blending Chinese and Jamaican culture together, as well as other views on interracial marriage. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. So please help us welcome Colin Thomas to the show. Colin, would you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about yourself, your relationship, and what you have going on at the moment?
So first of all, Christina, thank you for inviting me to your show. I am Colin Thompson. A little bit about myself. It's interesting because I now call myself a father, husband, and entrepreneur. I don't know if I have those things in the right order, but that does describe me somewhat to a T. I became a father about a year and a half ago, not really, but August of 2019. I became a husband in February of 2017, I think I did. Anyway, I'm here in Shanghai, China. I married my wife who I met 10 years ago today, actually. 10 years ago today. During a marathon. And she is from Hong Kong, she is Chinese. Myself, I am black, African descent. So we have a very interesting relationship here. But I gotta say that we're in a culture where interracial relationships don't really raise the eyebrows as they do back in the US. So we don't have a lot of public eyeballs looking at us when we walk around, which is very relaxed and very great.
Did you grow up in the United States yourself, Colin?
Yeah, so I was born in Canada, Toronto, Canada. I am the son of immigrants to Canada, and then we all immigrated to the U.S., so I am a U.S. immigrant. I did grow up in the U.S., Louisville, Kentucky, until I went to college. I went to college in Washington, D.C. at Howard University, which is HBCU. So going to university where you really taught knowledge of self, really taught about the history of black diaspora and whatnot. And I spent most of my life in Washington, D.C. before I came here to China.
And being with your wife, have you noticed any cultural differences that kind of stick out in your mind?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, though. The challenge I had initially was, is it a culture difference or the gender difference? What I mean by that is some of the differences we have based on culture or just based on, or if I was dating somebody of my own race who from a different country or a different state, would we still have the same sort of challenges? And for the most part, I think relationships are relationships, but there definitely have been some things that I can say are due to culture. In the Asian culture, it's really, really more about the family structure, the nuclear family, where you have your parents, you have your siblings, pretty much living in the same house until somebody's married, and then the parents may still be there. So there are some subtle differences. I look at myself being raised more Jamaican than anything else. So we definitely had some different cultures and thoughts in our relationship. And we still have those, but now we lean into it. We embrace those now more than anything else.
What would you say would have been a gender difference that you think would have been universal across the board, no matter what cultural differences you had?
Yeah, so Christian, don't get me in trouble, okay? You know, in today's climate, the gender differences are very, 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 very different now. I was raised by a Jamaican father, old school Jamaican, so he definitely had some views on gender. And being his son, looking at what a household was, I have three older sisters who are very strong and independent, very strong, but due to what they saw, and two older brothers. So I consider myself to be be in the middle. But one gender difference, I could say that, you know, what is the, gosh, I don't want to say role, but what is the standard role that a man plays in relationship versus a woman? For example, doing certain housework things, who's going to be the one earning the money, protecting the family. So just those sort of things. For example, my wife now, even though she's very independent, she very much believes that it's her role to take care of the house, cleaning, the washing, things like that. Whereas if, you know, some women don't play that, right? They feel that
right.
The husband can do it as well. But my wife has certain views on that, which I don't fight, to be honest with you.
I do want to go back. You had said that the culture your wife lives in, or that you now live in, is a
multi-generational community style living
where the family lives closer to you. And in the United States, it actually is more individualistic. Husband and wife and your kids and then extended family. Is that something that you had to get used to, or is that something that you're embracing?
Well, you know, I see it more in a lot of the Chinese culture here. My wife's mother and father both passed away before we started dating. And I say that because it's very different here when you have to really get the approval of your parents before you get married. My wife and I got married when she was, I want to say, 32. No, yeah, but around 33, 34. And in China, that's considered very, very old for a woman. So had her parents been alive when she was 24, 25, she would definitely have been pressured to get married. And for a lot of couples or families in the rural area, it has nothing to do with love. It has really to do with it's time to get married, it's time to raise a family. China as a country is very big on family. It's very hard for the government to approve divorces here. So I didn't have to deal with that myself, but I do see that in a lot of relationships and couples here. So even though her parents weren't here, she was still feeling some pressure from her siblings to get married. Luckily, in China, if you're a foreigner here in China, that means you're here for education or you're here for work, and people view you as an expert. So they don't really frown on mixed relationships here. They kind of like them. They love seeing mixed babies, but they believe that anytime somebody Chinese can marry somebody who's a foreigner, they're going to give the child a better life because they can learn English, they can get out of China.
Oh, interesting. I wasn't aware of that. So you had talked about having a Jamaican father. Do you think that you brought any cultural differences to the relationship because of that?
I would say perhaps in my mind. I think that I recognized a long time ago that a lot of what my father believed in was just wrong. Very, very wrong. Very, very wrong. So I knew that a long time ago. I think the main differences that we have now are more tied to events. For example, how do we celebrate holidays? How do we celebrate birthdays? My wife, we started dating initially back in 2010. And her birthday the next year, we had a birthday party for her. I believe at that time she was, let's say, 26, 27. And that was literally her first birthday party. So for years, you know, I really had to teach her that we celebrate birthdays. We celebrate holidays. So that may not seem like a big deal, but, you know, the holidays are very important where I come from. So having somebody who just really didn't react or didn't plan anything, we really had to talk about how, yeah, you know what, this is a different culture. When your birthday is here, you celebrate. When Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, these different holidays, we really do celebrate. And again, it may seem like a small thing, but at one point it was an issue.
What are some things that she brought to you, to your attention, that perhaps you weren't aware of yourself?
I think one of the challenges have just communication. And again, I don't know if this is more to do with just typical relationship, but, you know, Chinese people are not, as a country, are very much not confrontational. If you ask somebody how their day is going, if it's going good, they'll say good. If it's going bad, they'll say good. So where I come from, we address things right there. And that's just not the culture here. So it took me a while to understand how to address touchy subjects with her without being so direct, because the last thing you want to do is be too direct and have your spouse just shut down. That was one of the things that was kind of difficult to handle. Also, just how we interact with friends and family. The Chinese culture here is you don't really talk about your personal things as much. So personal relationships with friends aren't that deep. For example, you know, my boys, we call them my boys back in the U.S. We talk about everything, you know, everything. Whereas here, you don't really share so much personal with your friends. And what that does is it means that you're not really being authentic in front of your friends. So that's one thing that we had to talk about as well, because she was very hesitant to spend time with friends here, because quite frankly, friends, you know, unless you went to university with somebody here or school, you don't really make a lot of friends, new friends, when you're older. You make colleagues, but not new friends.
So do you have anything going on at the moment that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I want to share this, because one thing I've noticed about the nature of interracial relationships, and that I went back to, you know, we've been to the U.S. several times together. We went back to Jamaica to get married, and I dated, you know, in my race in the U.S. I also dated out of my race in the U.S. Whether it be Korean girls, Caucasian girls, Spanish girls, or South America. One thing I noticed, and I'm not sure if you have seen this as well, the views or the feedback you get when you're dating another minority of a different race is very different than if you're dating somebody Caucasian, being Black. Does that make sense to you?
It does. Do you want to elaborate a little bit?
What I mean is, and I was very surprised by this, because if I was dating years ago, if I was dating a Caucasian woman, I may get some looks walking down the street. I may get some comments like, oh, you don't think a Black girl is good enough for you. You know, things like that. Nothing serious, but comments like that. But you definitely get some looks, especially from Black women. And I understand that. However, when I notice that when I'm dating somebody who is another minority, whether it be somebody who is Spanish from South America, somebody who is Asian, you don't get those same looks. You don't get those same comments. And I think it has to do with the fact that the treatment of people of color in the U.S. is somewhat universal. We know the worst treatment goes from the dark you are to light you are. We know that. But I say this because one of the things that made it easy for my wife to be accepted when we go back to the U.S. is the fact that people didn't look at her or us as if I was betraying my race. That's very, very important. When I would bring somebody of a different race around a family or friends, there'd be some tension there. You know, nothing overt, but there'd be some tension there. So I think one of the things that helped my wife and I really not have any issues due to our race or cultures early was the fact that there is a different litmus test or measuring stick based on whether you're a minority dating another minority or a minority dating somebody who's Caucasian in the U.S.
And how do you feel about that? With the differences of saying that you're betraying your race, and did that make you not want to date Caucasian people?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, this answer was very based on my age. I don't think that at all you're betraying your race. I don't think that at all. I do, based on my experience now, though, having spent time 12 years outside of the U.S., having spent time around Caucasians from Europe, and really seeing something, I would say that now I don't have any desire to date what I would say Caucasians from the U.S. But I'm more open to, well, first of all, I'm married, so I'm not going to be dating anybody, right? But
that's good to point out.
But there's a difference there, and I don't think it has anything to do with Caucasian women directly, but I think it had more to do with just the treatment of people of color in the U.S. by white people over all these hundreds of years. So I think it's more of a race thing than an individual woman thing. So, and that's changed. But again, when I see somebody, a mixed couple, black and white, I don't say you're betraying your race. I don't say that. I may wonder what's the story there. I do know that, you know, typically if you're a black guy dating a white woman, there's some thoughts, but I know that if you're a white woman dating a black guy, odds are her family, somebody in her family is not really supporting that, right? So I do wonder what she's dealing with also, because I know that in some cases, black people don't think you're taking a step down when it is somebody race, white, but somebody white may think, no, the family may think they're taking a step down when it dates somebody of color.
Okay. I guess I can see a little bit about what you're saying. For my own personal experience, I don't think that my family feels that I've stepped down. They all love my husband very much. But I can definitely see what you're saying about how some people can view it like that.
Yeah, I think it depends on what part of the country you're in as well. I have to say that.
So going back to you and your relationship, how have you and your partner overcome some of the challenges you faced by being an interracial couple in China?
Yeah, so I think one is really just by communication and talking about things. The biggest challenge that we have has less to do with our direct relationship. It has more to do with how we're raising our son. Our son is mixed. And one of the things that people over here don't really understand is the history of racism in the U.S. So what I keep telling my wife, you know, our son is a cute little mixed baby. And in China, again, they love mixed babies because, you know, in the U.S., you have all different hues. You have very beautiful hues from white all the way to black, and beautiful hues all along that spectrum. In China, mm-hmm. It's really Chinese hue, that Chinese color. So anytime they can get a mix of that, they love it. So I got to say that they do love mixed babies here, whether it's Chinese and white, Chinese and black, Chinese and Indian, it doesn't matter. The people love it. The challenge we have is helping her understand that as cute as our little baby is, in a few years, when this mixed baby is in the U.S., he's going to be viewed differently. He's going to be treated differently. And one of the challenges we do have, and we had arguments about this, is what he should be exposed to, what she should be exposed to as well. For example, and you might not think it's a big deal, I told my wife we have to have some black dolls in the house, right? We're not going to have just white dolls in the house. And to her, she had no idea why it's an issue. And I'm telling her the psychology of it. You have to have dolls and watch cartoons and TV shows where he's seeing people that look like his parents, because that's right.
Exactly.
And even to this day, she really doesn't feel that. Now, I understand, because again, the issue with race is not here in China. So that's the biggest thing we have now. It's letting her, you know, for example, anytime there's some sort of George Floyd, I sit her down, make her watch it, and she's uncomfortable. But I tell her, everybody you've seen here could be your son. So if I had to say, the biggest challenge we have now is just really agreeing on what we expose our son to get him ready for what's taking place in the U.S.
And I think that is an important thing to point out, is being in a mixed relationship.
Absolutely. And I think one of the mistakes I make is because it's part of my life, I sort of shove it down her throat, which is not the right way to do it. For example, every time there's some sort of incident in the U.S., again, I sit her down, I talk to her about it, and she gets tired of it because I get very animated because I take it personal. And, you know, so I'm still trying to figure out what's the best way to share, to sort of bring her up to speed on what's taking place, even though she may never feel it herself. For example, I told her, if we're in the U.S. and we get pulled over by the police, don't say a word. Don't talk back. Don't say a word. And she can't really understand, you know, she understands now because we've been here for a while, but it's helping her understand how people of our race, people of color, are treated in the U.S. It's very oblivious to people who grew up outside the U.S.
Well, perhaps you can have her listen to some of my previous podcasts. It might be beneficial, but you guys have been together for a while, so she's probably up on that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And Christina, I want to clarify something, because I don't want to offend your audience. Before I mentioned that, in the views of some people, when you're dating out of your race, whether you're dating somebody white or black or Hispanic, your family may look at you as you took a step down. I want to say that I have several friends who have married out of their race, whether it be Asian, whether it be white, and their families fully support. So I want to make that very clear. Now, I know sometimes they have some uncles, you know, some uncles who may not, you know, support, but typically they do get support over time from their families.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. And do you have any tips or tricks that you'd like to share with our listeners that would perhaps strengthen their own relationships?
Well, yeah, well, if we're talking about in terms of interracial relationships, I'll say this, and I got to admit, I've had it much easier because I've been here in China. But I want to say, lean into that person's culture. And, well, let me say this. This may have less to do with race and more with culture, meaning if you're black and you're dating somebody who is from the African continent versus somebody black in the U.S., you still have to learn that culture. That has nothing to do with race. It has more to do with culture. So if you're dating somebody from a different culture, lean into the culture. I don't know if it's easy or possible to lean into the race. What I mean by that is, if you're a black and dating somebody who's Caucasian, you know, you're not going to go take an Afrocentric class, right? Or take a class to learn the history. But I will say that really take time.
Well, you might. I mean, depends on what your interests are, I guess.
yeah, but would that be authentic, though? I mean, would that be... I mean, you're with somebody because of how you feel about them.
Yes.
To really understand where they're from, talk to them. Spend time with their friends and family. One thing I found here, because my wife's family does not speak English, I don't speak good Chinese, and I found that the effort I make to talk to them, it goes far. Because we'll sit down and we'll find ways of communicating, and after an hour, we haven't had a deep conversation, but we really, really interacted. So if I had any tips, I would say really get to know your spouses or your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Get to know their family beyond the superficial level, because that's really where your wife, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend is going to get their support. And you want them on your side, not just for support, but you really want to interact. And I'll tell you what, you learn a lot about your spouse when you learn about their family.
Absolutely. So if our listeners would like to learn more about you, where can they find you?
Well, yeah, you know, if they want to learn more about me, they can go to my website, www.oligye.com. I am a life coach. I'm a trainer. I'm an entrepreneur. So if they want to talk more and learn anything about more about what we talked about or other topics, they can go to my website, www.oligye.com.
And I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Yeah. Is there any other thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners before we go?
Yeah, Christina, first of all, thanks for having a platform, because, you know, it's interesting when we talked about your show about interracial relationships. And one of the things I wanted to discuss was, in the U.S., there is a lot of, there's some sort of elephant in the room or something about certain interracial relationships. It's heavy. It's heavy sometimes. And I want people to know that it doesn't have to be heavy. Depending upon where you live, depending upon where you go, it could be business as usual. If you're are in an interracial relationship and you travel out the country, maybe you go on holiday somewhere, you may notice that it's not a big deal. I do know that when I talk to some Europeans, they view interracial relationships as nothing. Whereas in the U.S., it's more of a issue sometimes. So just have faith that, you know, the burden, you know, I don't want to say burden you're carrying, but some of the challenges you're having, don't let the outside world impact. It's all about you and your spouse. It's all about you two and your family. So, you know, if you're feeling any extra pressure, take a step back, lean into your spouse, and really just stay strong, I guess you can say. Stay strong.
Thank you. Well, that concludes the rest of our show.
Yeah, Christina, thank you. I hope you found something you can use.
I think that I have. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you all for listening to today. Please share this episode with someone who may benefit from its knowledge, and consider donating to this podcast to ensure the continued education, support, and community by Interracial Marriage with Christina Adams. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and hit subscribe on whatever platform you happen to be listening to us on. Consider rating us to keep our show on air. And until next week, don't forget to follow the love.